Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Hello? Hello, hello. No, it's not who you think it is. It is who it is. It is not at Mr. FSP, Mr. Vic Gardner. It is JT, a.k.a. the Master. This is the FSP show. I am in place of Vic. He's still away, and I hope he's safe. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. We got a nice show in store for you today. I'm going to be talking about some NCAA movement, things that have been happening in the NCAA. You know, people are moving around with money. I'm not talking about players getting moved around, but they're not the benefits of the money. Going to be talking about the NFL and the things that are going on. If you don't know, I'm going to tell you. Free agency doesn't really start for the NFL until the 12th, but the new stipulation in the NFL that is very interesting, and we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about some other players in the NFL that are moving around because of what's going on over this weekend and in the next few days, and which would be very interesting for the teams, for the real teams, and for the fantasy teams, for you fantasy football players out there. It's 24, I wouldn't say 24/7, but it's 365 days, and on a leap year, it's 366 that you got to stay on top of it in order to be able to benefit from it. So there's a couple of things we're going to talk about. The show's only going to be an hour. I have some commitment issues, and I got to be somewhere in a little more than an hour, so I give myself a little time. So it's only going to be an hour, but unfortunately, we're going to pack as much as we can into this hour. We have also a chat room available to you. That's for your pleasure, for your convenience. If you would not like to talk to me, for some unforeseen reason, I don't know reason why you wouldn't, but if you didn't want to talk to me, you can use the chat room to express your opinion or to ask a question or to even make a statement. The chat room is for you, like I said, and go for it. You know, if you're willing to dish it out, I hope you're willing to take it, because that's not a threat, but depending on what you put out is what you're going to get. Put into the chat room is what you're going to get out. Okay, so it is what it is. But without further ado, let's talk about this. Now, I find it very interesting. You know, it's official that the in the Big East, you've known all these teams. If you follow college sports, especially football and basketball, men's sports I'm talking about, that you know that there's been a lot of movement of teams from different schools moving around to different conferences to gain the best financial advantage for their school and quite naturally for their team. Well, now we have what we have as the Big East football and basketball. Football has broken away from basketball, or you want to say basketball has broken away from football. Now there's going to be a separate conference for football, which is not going to be named the Big East anymore, because the Big East has sold that name to the football part of the Big East, and they're going to be, the Big East football has sold that to the basketball part of the Big East, and that Big East is going to be holding that name. And the Catholic Seven is what I'm basically talking about, and it's the schools that are involved in that are DePaul, Georgetown, Marquette, St. John's, Seton Hall, Villanova, and Providence. So that's seven names there that the Catholic Seven have broken away. They're going to be the Big East Conference, going to have that name. They pay for that, okay? And they're going to add to their conference starting in the fall of this year, Butler, Creighton, and Xavier. Xavier, I think, has to pay a certain amount of money to break away from where they're at. I do have a clip. I want to play the clip first, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about it.
College football reporter Brett McMurphy joins us on the phone right now. And, Brett, tell us who will be in this league when all is said and done.
Well, as you mentioned, the Catholic Seven will retain the Big East name. So the Big East is actually splitting up, but it will no longer be a football league. The Catholic Seven universities, DePaul, Georgetown, Marquette, Providence, Seton Hall, St. John's, and Villanova, will start the new league on July 1st. They want to have 10 teams. Butler and Xavier are the two leading candidates for teams 8 and 9, and Creighton looks like the addition for number 10. Obviously, they've got to move quickly on this. None of those three schools have officially withdrawn from their current conferences, so that's something they must do. For Butler and Xavier, they'll have to pay a $2 million exit fee to get out of the Atlantic 10.
The remaining schools in the Big East, Brett, who is going to join that conference? Will any teams be joining them?
For this fall in 2013, they will have a 10-team conference. Holdovers, Connecticut, Cincinnati, and South Florida, and then new members, Houston, Memphis, Tulane, UCF, SMU, also Temple is a holdover. So they're going to have a 10-team league in 2013. By 2015, they want to have 12 teams. Navy's scheduled to join in 2015. Tulsa is the only school that they're considering right now as the 12th member. It's still undecided if those schools will add Tulsa in 2014 or 2015. And also, before July 1st, they've also got to come up with a new name for the conference since the name will stay with the basketball schools.
Okay. And since the basketball schools are going to retain the Big East, let's talk about this.
Welcome into ESPN Headlines. I'm Michelle Steele. The Catholic Seven are leaving the Big East, and they're taking the Big East brand with them. The remaining schools are going to need the name, and according to Brett McMurphy, the America 12 Conference is so far the favorite for the new name for the new conference. He joins me now on the phone. So, Brett, why name it the America 12 Conference when it doesn't even have 12 schools yet?
That's a great question, because currently there are four conferences right now that have numbers in their names. It's the Pac-12, Big Ten, Big 12, and Atlantic 10. And only one of those conferences, the Pac-12, actually have the accurate number of members, as their conference name suggests. So that was a question a lot of people asked on Twitter today. The reason is basically that the America 12, if that's the conference name they end up with, in 2015, after the current schools all leave and they bring in their new members, Navy comes on board in 2015. The plan is to have 12 members from that point going forward. Obviously, that's if they don't have any more defections. So that's why they put a number with the name. We'll have to see that when we get to 2015, if the 12 number still holds up.
The conference has bought about 15 domain names through their attorneys. When do you think this name is going to become official, if it is indeed the America 12 Conference?
Well, they have until July 1st, and that's when the Catholic Seven start their new league and retain the Big East name. So they've got till this summer to do that. Certainly, from the sources I've talked to, they want to do this sooner than later so people will get used to it. It won't officially take effect until July 1st, but I would think, you know, with the Catholic Seven deal, exit from the Big East becoming official any time now, that I certainly think that will be one of the next things they look at and want to get a new conference name. I would probably say in the next few weeks. I don't think we would go into May that late. So certainly I think by April they should finalize a new name that will, like I said, take effect on July 1st.
Now, the Big East has been plagued in the last few seasons by conference instability. In your opinion, how stable is the America 12 conference, if that is the name?
Unfortunately, they're only as stable as the conferences above them, and that's the Big Ten, the Pac-12, the Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC. Of all those five conferences, I think the only conference that would consider expanding right now is the Big Ten. So if the Big Ten stays at 14 schools, the American 12 conference should be okay. But if Jim Delaney decides to push that button and go get two more schools and the merry-go-round is going to start again, trickle-down effect will drop down to the America 12 conference, and the first two schools that they would lose would be Connecticut or Cincinnati, and they would have to find two replacements for them. So if you're a fan of the American 12, of the new American 12 conference, certainly you have to hope that the Big Ten does not expand further, because if they do, it's become all too common but that the America 12 conference will lose more members.
Real quickly here, any word on how high that exit fee is going to be with this new conference, new-ish conference?
Currently, it's $10 million. That's a good question. I don't know if they will decide to increase that once everyone has left and they've got all the new members in. But certainly right now it's $10 million. I'd be surprised if it went up higher than that. It would make sense to make it a little higher, make it tougher for teams to leave. I certainly know one thing, they won't be able to get a grant of rights similar to what the Big 12 has. But certainly, you know, I think that would be a smart move if they could increase that exit fee. I think realistically, though, they probably could go beyond $15 million. But right now it's currently $10 million.
All right, Brett McMurphy, thank you so much. Again, Brett McMurphy covering the story for us on the America 12 conference and that name. And for more college football headlines, definitely check out our college football page here at ESPN.com. For Brett McMurphy, I'm Michelle Steele. See you next time.
All right. We're going to talk about the football and basketball. Like I said, they just announced that agreement that the 70 Catholic universities that are breaking away are going to form a basketball-only conference, okay? You know that. The new league will also assume the old one's contract to play in the Madison Square Garden, the conference tournament. Quite naturally, the last tournament for the current version of the Big East will start on this Tuesday, which is March 12th. The sale of the Big East name, like you heard there, and I'm going to give you a little bit more details. It's not an exchange of cash. Instead, the Catholic Seven, the seven schools that are leaving, will primarily leave behind most, if not all, of the money they would have received from the exit fees of other departing universities and the entry fees for new members. They're paying money, but they're really not paying money. They're punting money that hasn't been put in their pockets yet. So they're leaving money out on the table for someone else to pick up, rather than actually having to fork over a departure fee. They may retain the millions of dollars for their appearances in the NCAA. Men's basketball tournament, because they're leaving as a group. Quite naturally, other people who have left are West Virginia, Syracuse, and Pittsburgh, and they left with about $50 million with the conference. So the news of this is I wouldn't say surprising, but it's what's been going on for the last few years. Like I said, these teams have been moving around. Different teams have been moving around to different conferences, trying to get a big payday, trying to get into the best financial position for their schools and for their program, vis-a-vis is it football or basketball. Most of the time it's football. This time it's basketball. And now you heard it, the old Big East is searching for a new name. You've heard the America 12, the America 12's conference or whatever. They're still in the process of trying to find out. Well, they're going to have to try and find it out pretty quick. They got to have a name that's going to be catchy, because it makes a big difference. And they have to recruit more teams into their conference, because right now they have basketball. They have Connecticut, they have Temple, Cincinnati, and South Florida for now. Okay, quite naturally, you heard them saying that Central Florida is a candidate. Memphis, Houston, SMU, Tulane, and East Carolina, and maybe down the road, Navy. So, even though it's going to be the Big East, those teams I named, South Florida, Central Florida, Memphis, Houston, SMU, Tulane, East Carolina, now, all those names have a little Southern taste to them, in my opinion. So, how in the world, that's what I'm talking about. When you talk about these conferences, and like the Big East, and if all these teams come into them, how the heck that could be the Big East? Because there's only a couple teams that are on the East Coast in that conference. If you count all the teams I talked about, that's, you know, it's not the Big East, it's the Big South, but quite naturally, you know, they're not going to be. And if it's America's 12 or something like that, then I can understand that, because it's southern part, southwestern part of the country. Central Florida or East Carolina, that's in the south, okay? Houston is in the southwest. Memphis is, I guess that's in the south. Memphis, Tennessee, that's in the south. So it's got a southern tinge to it, with a little bit of a west, as of course you're going with Houston. But they're going to name it something like the America's Conference or whatever they're going to name it. It's going to be pretty strange to have all those teams with well, it's not going to be a regional type of conference. That's obvious. Not like the Big East, and it, I would think, like those seven teams that left the Big East, and the other three other teams that are supposedly immediately going to join the Big East have pulled off a pretty good deal by retaining the name the Big East Conference, because the Big East Conference is well respected and carries a lot of weight in college basketball. Maybe not so much in college football, but in college basketball, when you can retain that, and you have I can see the powerhouse in there, for the most part, would be Georgetown. There's some other ones, and Villanova may be pretty good here. DePaul, you know, for the most part, some of these teams, like Georgetown and Villanova, are perennial powers. These other teams are up and down. Some years they have good teams. Some years they have bad teams or fall somewhere in between. So the Big East, as it was with Connecticut, Georgetown, Syracuse, West Virginia, Rutgers, things like that that were really exciting. St. John's, really exciting to watch these guys, especially the rivalries they had in basketball, mainly basketball. Some of it was in football, but mainly in basketball, is going to be a thing of the past. And it's a shame, because for the times I watched college basketball and watched classic battles in college basketball between Georgetown and St. John's, Connecticut, St. John's, Georgetown, Syracuse, things like that, and I'm not slighting any school if I haven't put them in there, but you get what I'm saying. It's going to be tough to be able to watch these, because the rivalry, the traditional rivalries, are going to be are going to have to be rekindled in a different way now. So you're going to see in basketball, Temple and Connecticut in the old Syracuse. Excuse me, in the old Big East Conference, Connecticut is the remaining basket power that's staying. And Temple's staying, Cincinnati and South Florida are staying. But Connecticut doesn't have a real big rivalry with any of those schools. Temple doesn't have a real big rivalry with any of those schools. Cincinnati doesn't have a big, real big rivalry with any of those schools, excuse me, and the same thing for South Florida. So I understand that this is going to be a different environment for those who are used to watching the Big East basketball, but at the real Big East basketball, now you're going to have to where are you going to go? So if you're a fan of the Big East, maybe not such a fan of any of the schools that are in the Big East, maybe not such a fan of any of the schools that have broken away and are now still the Big East, but you're a fan of some of the teams that aren't of the Big East, but you like the Big East Conference. So are you going to throw your allegiance to the Big East Conference, or are you going to throw to your allegiance to the old Big East Conference, which is going to change its name to whatever? And then that new conference has to immediately think of a name that's going to give them some type of name recognition and have them be able to develop a fan base for that conference, not just for a particular team, for the conference, because some fans are fans of the conference, and some fans are fans of a particular team. And I'm a fan. I am a fan of Georgetown, but I also am a fan of Big East basketball. Now, Big East basketball for me includes Connecticut, but Connecticut's going to be in a different conference now. And you don't have Syracuse, you don't have Rutgers, you got St. John's, Georgetown. That's really, and Seton Hall and Villanova. To me, that's really the Big East right there. That's the heart of them. So do I go that way? Because I really want to watch Connecticut play Georgetown. I know that's not going to happen now. This is going to be the last year. So you better make the most of it this year. You better watch every game that's in the Big East, because the fact is, those games are going to be priceless to watch, because those are going to be the last games that you actually get to watch the Big East Conference. Maybe not the complete Big East Conference like it used to be in the past, but you're going to watch the Big East Conference as it is now, as it is going to be for the last time with Connecticut in it. Now, I'm a big fan of Connecticut basketball, especially women's basketball. I like the players. That Jim, the coach of Connecticut, and his name escapes me right now. When he coached them, he coached a lot of big time players, including Ray Allen, that went to the NBA. Big time, very good coach. Can be contentious at times, but he's a very good person and a very good coach. Now that's not the case. He has moved on. And he has one of his former players coaching that team. And he's doing a good job at it. I'm not complaining about it, but he's doing a good job at it. I'm getting off the beaten path. I'm just talking about the conferences. And what about these? What do you think about all these conferences and jumping on different bandwagons, breaking off? They want to make their own way. I'm torn. I understand that you want to try to get the best deal and make the most revenue for your school, for your program. But where is the loyalty? Where is the loyalty trying to work through with where you're at, trying to improve that product to make more money as you are right now, rather than just move on and just up and move and say, I'm out of here. Not to say that things may have been done that you just get to a point and say, well, there's no need in beating my head against the wall any longer. I've tried and stayed here as long as I can, and it's obvious that I have to leave if I wanted to improve my school or my program in a different direction, vis-a-vis it's going to a different conference, vis-a-vis a group of schools going and making their own conference. I don't know, man. You know, it's a very tough, slippery slope to deal with and to try to get to understand. And like I said, it's the number to call in is 347-637-3220. If you want to talk to me about any subject, anything like that, it's college football things I've been talking about for almost the last half hour. Like I said, we're only going to be here for an hour, and I wanted to get that out because I have a commitment I have to be to, unfortunately. Hopefully there's nothing that pops up next week and we can extend it to what it normally is. Which is an hour, hour and a half, I should say, and we can cover more information. But past that, I also wanted to talk about, like I said, one of the other things I want to talk about besides the football was the college football. I mean, is the NFL. You know, I talk a lot about the NFL. Everybody's telling me it's basketball season. I know it's basketball season. But when there's this event coming on, when there's something that's important, and regardless of whatever sport it is, and this sport is football, okay? And I know it's basketball season. I know baseball's gearing up, but baseball season hasn't started yet. And this is the beginning of free agency for the NFL. Like I said earlier when I was talking, when I introed, the 12th, which is Tuesday, free agency officially begins. But there's a stipulation with the NFL that free agents, and the agents of these free agents can start negotiating with teams. They can't talk to the players, but they can start negotiating with teams. The agents can, and try to make a deal. So by the time the 12th comes, 12:01 a.m. On March 12th, they can sign a deal, and they can wrap up whoever they want to wrap up at the time. And there's some substantial things that are going on that I find it very, very interesting. And I want to talk about them, and I'm going to run down one by one, going to explain it, talk to it, find out what you guys think, if you're going to comment on it. But I think it's very interesting how teams are dealing with this time of the year. Now they try to make a contract, a proposal, agreement with this guy. He's 35. He's increasingly become injury prone, but he still can harass quarterbacks. And he's a number three outside rushing linebacker available in free agency right now because the Steelers released outside linebacker James Harrison, which I find that very interesting. This guy still, in my mind, got a lot in the tank. But it looks like he may not be signed again because it takes a little more than $5 million off the salary cap. And a quote from his says, "It's been a great run, but all good things must come to an end." Thank you, Steelers Nation. I will miss you all. To me, that sounds like he ain't coming back. Sounds like somebody else is going to pick him up. Sounds like somebody else is going to reap the rewards of him. Him playing for one or two more years before he hangs him up. And I'm really surprised. I'm really surprised that James Harrison is going to be, I would say really surprised, but I'm surprised, but James Harrison is going to be moving on. That's one guy. Let me talk about a few other ones that I think are pretty fascinating. That are still in the works. Let's look about this. And I find this pretty interesting because this guy was a very good pickup, and I'm surprised that San Diego. You know what? I can't say that. San Diego, and regardless of whether Norvell Turner isn't there or A.J. Smith isn't there. It seems like they still have, and that's got to do with the philosophy from the higher up, meaning the owner. Still got that, seems like they got the head up their butt and don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. I hate to say it like that, but they assigned the free agent, wide receiver, Denario Alexander, who, when they got him, He performed very well for him, but they gave him a, rather than tender him at a first or second round level, because he was probably their best wide receiver when he came there, and protect himself with a draft pick compensation if a team tries signing him away, the Chargers had left themselves open to being pickpocketed. Okay? Everyone knows, well, not everyone, but Alexander was originally undrafted, and San Diego would receive nothing in return if a club signed him to another offer sheet, and a Bolts remained to, if they failed to match it. He's 24 years old. In a 9-game stretch last year, he racked up 37 catches for 658 yards and 7 touchdowns. Now, if you take that to a 16-game season, well, he's got bad knees, so I'm not sure if he's going to get the 16-game season. But if you extrapolate that to a 16-game season, that's 66 catches with over 1,100 yards and 13 touchdowns. And they decided to give him the lowest possible restricted free agent tender, meaning team want to match it. If they don't match it, they're out. He's out of there. He's out of there. What? And they don't get anything for him. That's. You know what? If it was me, you know, this kid, sooner or later, he's going to either. I guess they didn't have too much faith in his knees. I understand he's got problem knees, but. You know, when he's on the field, and he's on the field enough that you would think that you would give him a restricted free agent tender a little higher than that, then do it. Don't understand it. Don't understand it. Another one I don't understand. This one I don't understand. Anquan Boldin. Super Bowl receiver for the Baltimore Ravens, played outstanding, was mad crazy in his playing in the playoffs, including the Super Bowl. The Ravens want Boldin to take a pay cut. A pay cut. Or if he don't take it before Tuesday, he's out of there. He's cut. He's owed $6 million in base salary. And the Ravens seemingly deemed that too costly for a possession receiver. Now, I understand they want to keep their inside linebacker because they lost Ray Lewis. They want to keep their inside linebacker, Daniel Ellerbe. I understand that. They just signed Joe Flacco to a huge contract. And they, I know they would if they cut Bolden, it would have freed them up for even more cap space. But to just even just outright cut them, that's disrespectful. That just goes to show you. And when all these people complain about players wanting money, or players at whatever time, and when they have a big season, they want to get paid. Because when the shoe's on the other foot, he won a Super Bowl. He helped them win the Super Bowl. And I'm not, when I say helped them, he helped them big time to win a Super Bowl and to win a Super Bowl. And he gets treated like this. Take a pay cut or get released. And he did say at one point that he retired if the Ravens cut him. But I have to think that I still think he's got some playing days in front of him. But the loyalty is not to the team. The loyalty is to the almighty dollar. I'm telling you right now, regardless of old school guys, old school thinking that, you know, he should be happy he's getting whatever he's getting. Wait a minute. The average lifespan is less than 4 years for a player. These guys who've been in the league for a double digit, close to double digits, are blessed. Been very fortunate not to sustain any major injuries that would inhibit them from making a living playing football. But it's a dog-eat-dog business. The owners will cut you in a heartbeat if your salary's too high, or your ability has dropped off even a speck. They'll drop you in a heartbeat without blinking an eye, and try to pick up a young kid that has some potential who carries a cheaper contract. That's the cold, hard truth. So when you have an opportunity to get paid, you get paid. Plain and simple, you get paid, because the fact is, they don't care about you. They care about the almighty dollar, what you bring in for revenue, what you can do for them. And as soon as you can't do it, they'll throw you away like a piece of garbage. And all players of all professions know that, without a doubt. Get paid when you can get paid, because when you can't, when they think that you can't do what they want you to do, or what you're expected to do, they will throw you away quicker than you can blink. Quicker than you can blink, and that's just the bottom line. That's the price of doing business in a professional way. Baseball, basketball, hockey, football, or any other sport that's a profession. That's just the bottom line, and that's how it is. And it may not be right, but that's the truth. Chiefs signed ex-Falcon corner Donte Robinson. Now, he's a good tackler, let me put it that way. You know, I'm trying to think this guy. This guy, it had always gotten beat. But he was owed $8 million with the Falcons, and I figured he ain't worth $8 million. And they just did out and out cut him. We'll see what happens with Donte Robinson. I think it's a decent pickup. Add some experience to the Chiefs' backfield, hopefully he'll benefit from that. Because I'm expecting an uptick of things to happen for the Chiefs, offensively and defensively. So for the simple fact is Andy Reid is there, and I think he's turned around teams before, and I think he can do it with the blessing of the ownership. I think he can do it there. This is very interesting. I like this kid. I think he got a bad rap, and it was a good thing that he sat for a couple years behind one of the best NFL quarterbacks in the league. Ryan Mallett. You heard that name before. Supposedly was a malcontent. I wouldn't say malcontent, but a problem child coming into the NFL when he got drafted. Well, quite naturally, he's been in the Patriots organization for a couple of years, sitting behind Tom Brady. And it's believed that the Browns are going to try to pursue a trade for Ryan Mallett. But supposedly Mr. Belichick, Darth Vader, said he won't part with his backup. But, you know, it all depends because Mr. Belichick and that organization up there is not afraid to take chances. And if they can pick up some draft picks or whatever else they can make that may benefit the team this year or for years to come, you can best believe that they will do that. They're good for picking up draft picks come the draft time, and I wouldn't be surprised that if Matt Castle became available, that he could replace Ryan Mallett, and then they can barter, they can use that to get some a pick or so, whatever, from the Browns for Ryan Mallett. So, and I think Ryan Mallett, sitting 2 years behind Tom Brady, catching all that knowledge, catching all that experience, and being able to pick, to watch and learn, I think there's a strong possibility. Now, quite naturally, he's not one of these read option quarterbacks. He's not a very mobile if at all. He's really very slow footed, and he's probably worse moving around in the pocket than Tom Brady. So he's an in the pocket type of quarterback. But I think Ryan Mallett, given a chance, can be a starting NFL quarterback in this league. I don't know if anybody's got any thoughts on that, but in my opinion, he definitely has a shot to be a very good quarterback. Speaking of quarterbacks, let's go all the way out to the left coast. Let's go all the way out to the left coast and talk about this. According to ProFootballTalk.com, there is speculation that the Cardinals are waiting for the Raiders to release Carson Palmer. Now, interesting? Yeah, I think that's very interesting. He's not a re-option quarterback. I think that there's word around that Terrell Pryor is going to get a shot, be able to compete for the starting job. I had said for weeks, quite a while now, that the growing trend in the NFL is for these mobile, these quarterbacks that can run the read option. I think that's something that if you have a shot, if you have a quarterback that can do that, you're going to inject that into your offense to give you more options. He can run the ball. He can pass the ball. He can quite naturally, he'll be able to hand the ball off in a read option. Carson Palmer's not that. I mean, Carson Palmer's in the pocket type of quarterback, but he requires strong pass protection. He still throws the ball well enough downfield to fit into Bruce Arians' game, passing game. But he'd be a huge upgrade from the three quarterbacks, Skelton, Cobb, Lindley, that the Cardinals have now. And it would be a big plus, huge boost for Larry Fitzgerald. He can get somebody in there who can get the ball to him. Carson Palmer would be able to do that. I think Bruce Arians is going to be able to fix the problems or help fix the problems that are on the offensive line of the Cardinals, who are one of the worst offensive line, who graded out to be one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL last year. That should be pretty interesting to see what happens in that vein. Let's move on to this here. Bear with me for a minute, people. Let's move on to this guy. And he's a free agent who doesn't seem like the team that he played for last wants him back. Talking about Mr. Reggie Bush and the Dolphins. It seems like multiple teams have shown interest in Mr. Bush. We'll have to wait and see what those multiple teams are. I know at one point that the Detroit Lions were interested in Reggie Bush. So I would say one of those three teams was the Detroit Lions. Be a change of pace back to go along with the backs they have now. The other interesting one that is out there is Steven Jackson. He opted out of his option on his contract. And now he wants to be a starting running back somewhere else. Who's going to grab Mr. Steven Johnson? Jackson, I mean. I'm sorry about that. Steven Jackson. That should be very interesting. I think the Broncos, Packers, Falcons could be a couple spots that could be illogical. Yeah, he's going to be 30. He's going to be 30 this year. Middle of the summer, he'll turn 30. And you know what happens with 30-year-olds when they are running backs, when they seem to fall off the cliff. Didn't seem like Steven Jackson had lost anything last year. And he didn't want to be a running back by committee back. He felt he's a prime-time three-down back. And I have a tendency to believe him. He hasn't sustained any major injury, especially to his knees. He's had multiple, maybe quad or high leg injuries, meaning hamstrings, thighs, hamstrings, quads, things like that, but nothing to his knees. So he's relatively healthy, and he keeps himself in exceptionally good shape. So Steven Jackson is going to be very interesting to see where his landing spot will be. I have to believe that. Let's move on to bear with me here, people. I'm trying to get myself together. My computer's falling apart on me here. Anyway, let's move back to this. Like I said, the free agency is negotiations are being well in gear for different free agents, and now, this is very interesting. The Bucks re-signed LeGarrette Blount to a one-year, $1.75 million deal. Okay? But they're trying to trade him after re-signing him. Because that's what I'm talking about, people. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's quite naturally that he doesn't have a role in the Tampa Bucks offense, but they re-sign him to a real cheap contract, okay, in hopes of getting a mid-round pick for it. which is, you know, the just like a piece of meat. Just like a piece of meat. He may have some suitors, but he's a plotter. He's not a scat back. He's not a change of pace type back. He's a straight ahead bulldog type of back that I don't know. I don't get it. Don't get it. But you know, there's other free agents out there that'll be more interesting. Mike Wallace, and I talked about running backs, a few running backs, and I talked about a couple quarterbacks. didn't talk about wide receivers. Wide receivers like Mike Wallace, like Greg Jennings. All these guys are sitting there, and you could best believe that people are going to be making moves for him. Jennings could go to the Cardinals. He could go to Patriots. He's not going back to the Packers. I'm trying to think where he can possibly go to Denver. Who the heck knows where he can go? I mean, he's a very good running back. He's a very good wide receiver. Same with Mike Wallace. There's a lot of teams out there that need number one receivers, and these two guys are number one receivers. So just think about that. Let's see what else can I come up here with that these wide receivers are. And quite naturally, Wes Welker. That's another wide receiver I'm talking about. Those three wide receivers are going to be very interesting to find out where they go. Wes Welker, supposedly they were close to a contract, but that's not the case. Wes Welker wants to test the free agent market to see what he's worth on a free agent. I guess he's going to probably use the New England Patriots as a last resort. If nothing else pans out, he may decide to sign with the New England Patriots, but I think he's going to be pulled up, snapped up, Denver Broncos. That would be crazy. Listen to this. Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, and Wes Welker with Peyton Manning thrown to him. That is outrageous. Crazy. Crazy to think that they would have somebody like that to make a run. And what's stopping them from looking for Steven Jackson? Just look at that. Steven Jackson in the background, in the backfield with Peyton Manning, throwing to Wes Welker, Eric Decker, and Demaryius Thomas. Crazy. Just think about that. I just thought about that, and that would be one hell of a five hand to deal with. I mean, who would you try to key on? And you know, if you did that, the two youngest would be quite naturally the wide receivers. The old guys would be Peyton Manning Peyton Manning, Wes Welker, and Steven Jackson. But Steven Jackson is for the window, quite naturally. Peyton Manning is an older quarterback. So you get an older back there, you're trying to win now. Right now. I mean, right now. You're not trying to win a year or two from now. You're trying to win right now. So in my opinion, that would make a lot of sense. You grab up Steven Jackson, you have a big bruising three-down back that can definitely catch the ball, and have those three wide receivers along with a decent tight end that you have. That's crazy. And you could best believe that I got to believe that that's got to be looked at. Got to be looked at. There's no two ways about it. It wouldn't make any sense for me to, for anyone, not to look at something like that. That's brainstorming at its best. I mean, if teams still think that Steven Jackson, I know he's 30 years old, I know that, but he's carried the ball a lot. But he didn't show any signs of slowing down last year, and I think he still carried a rock for 16 games with no problem. Why not? Why the heck not? Why the heck not? I don't know. To me, it makes sense to me, but who am I? And I'm not even talking about the big boys, but I'm just talking about the skilled players on the offensive side of the ball. And I'm looking forward to watching, because if you know it, some of these players have been on your fantasy teams, for those who play fantasy football, and it's going to be very interesting to see where they go, what quarterback and what offensive line they fall behind or play with. Quite naturally, it's going to make a difference. Jennings, depending on where he go, his drop off offensively, offensive numbers may drop off dramatically. He's not against Aaron Rodgers, who's a pass happy quarterback and a pass happy offense. That's going to be a difference. Mike Wallace depends on where he goes. It really depends on what kind of quarterback and what the strength of the quarterback arm is and how accurate he is for Mike Wallace to be effective. Steven Jackson probably needs a strong quarterback, a big-time quarterback, with to be able to take advantage of his abilities, being able to run the ball effectively. So there's a lot of things to think about, and it's going to come to light for the most part, I would think. I'd be very surprised if those three guys I named didn't get signed somewhere between now, or the reports are that these guys are signed between now and come March 12th. Because for the most part, these guys want to be in place and just have to walk up and sign on the dotted line when it comes time, not come March 12th and then negotiate. So. I'm leaving out quite a few people, but I'm just naming the name guys that I can think of off the top of my head. It's guys that I know that are going to be on the top of a lot of people's list of free agents to think about, to talk to see if they can what kind of price they're looking for, and how best they're going to be able to help the respective teams that. That want them. So with that being said, I got 2 minutes left in the show, and unbelievable that I've been able to talk this long. Well, I didn't say talk this long. I mean, I'm able to talk this long. It's just the fact is I really appreciate you. Anybody who's been listening, I really appreciate you putting up with me for this past hour, or 58 minutes, tune to be an hour. Tune in tomorrow. The master plan. I'll be talking about a lot of things. We talked about, and I'm dealing with fantasy baseball right now, and I talked about a few positions. You know, but talked about another positions or a few positions in fantasy baseball. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and don't forget tomorrow, very late tonight, come Sunday morning, the time's going to be moved up. It's daylight savings time. So the time moves up ahead, all right? Time moves up. Spring ahead, fall back. Time moves up, people, this weekend. Come Sunday morning, what used to be 10 o'clock is going to be 11 o'clock now. What used to be noon is going to be 1 o'clock. So 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, is I'll be there when I'm supposed to be there. I appreciate you listening. Be well. Enjoy this wherever you are on the East Coast right now. Where I'm at, it's a fine sunny day, about 50 degrees, if not more. Burning away all the snow that was here previously. But tune in tomorrow, like I said, master plan. JT will be in effect, and I hope you're there. We're talking about whatever's happening in sports and along with fantasy baseball. Enjoy your weekend, people. Peace out.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble.
You want to talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.